The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayisoro. There's a number of major topics in the Seder this week. But one of the major topics is the seeking of a kala, of a bride, for Yitzchok by the servant Eliezer, Evan Avraham, the servant of Avraham, and the marriage of this bride, Rivka, to Yitzchok. Actually, if I recall correctly, in Rabbeinu Bachaya, I believe he brings that this seder was laid in the shuls on a Shabbos when there was a chosim. So this evening I would like to speak a little about Ish Isho, a man and his wife. In Parshas Bereishis, Perek Beis Posuk Yud Ches, we have the creation of woman. And Hashem said, Leitev heyesa odem levadoi. It is not good for a man to be by himself. Eselei ezer kenegdoi. And therefore I will make an ezer, a helpmate for him. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min ha... Well then, no, excuse me. Then we go a little further. A little further it states, Vayikra Adam Shemes l'chol ha-behemo, l'if ha-shumayim, l'chol chayis ha-sodeh. All of the animals of creation were brought to Adam Arishon, the first man, to call them names, to give them their proper name. And every creation, every animal, had a mate, because all of the animals were created together, shnaim shnaim. They were created in pairs, zochar v'nekevah, male and female. Ula'odam le'motze eisa kenegdai. But man was not able to find his ezer kenegdai, his mate, his helpmate. Vayapel Hashem elekim ta'adim ala'odam v'yishon. And Hashem came and he placed a great sleep on man. Vayikach achas mitzaleisov, and he took one of his sides, one of his ribs. Vayiskor bosu tachteno, and then he sewed him up, closed up the operation. Vayivan Hashem Elokim es hatzelo, and Hashem Elokim built from this rib asher lokach mino odom liisho. He built woman from this. Vayivieho elo odom, and he brought her to man. And man said, this time she is from my own bone and from my own flesh. I have found my mate. And he called her, he said, she shall be called Isho, because she came from Ish, she came from man. Alkein yazov ish es ovi vi es imoi, vedovak bi ishtoi, vehoyu levos erechod. Therefore, man should leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be like one flesh. We see that the creation of man, of the human being, was different than the creation of all other creations in the world. Because everything else was created shnaim shnaim, in pairs. Man was created alone. And only later was his mate created. A little further in the Torah, in Bereishis, hey. Pasuk Aleph Beis. Zeh Sefer Toldos Odom. This is the book of the generations of man. B'yem bara Elokim Odom, on the day that Hashem created Odom, man, bin Musa Elokim Asa Esoi, he created him in his own image. Zohar unakeva bara'om, he created them, male and female, by Vorecheisom, and he blessed them, by Yikra Eshmom, and he called their name Odom, Biyom Hiborom, on the day that he created them. Actually, from this posuk, what we just read, it seems different. It says, on the day that Hashem created man, he created man, Zohar Unakeva, both male and female, he blessed them, and he called their name, their name Odom, B'yem Hiborom, on the day which he created them. So from there it would seem that man and woman were created together. Actually, the Gemara goes into this. In Brochus Daf Samach Aleph, and in Erevin Daf Yud Ches. According to one opinion, no, man was created, like the simple sense of the text, man was created first and he was created alone. Makorish Baruch Hu took something from him, and from there he fashioned woman. According to another opinion, Rabbi Yirmiya, Du Patsufim Bora Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Odom Arishon. Now, man was created Zohar v'Nekeva. He was created both as a species, which is both male and female. And later on, Hashem divided them into two creations. But it says, we read the Psukim, Zohar v'Nekeva Bora. He created them together, male and female, and he called them Odom. Actually, in the creation of man, well, so these are the two opinions in the Gemara. In the creation of man, the Pirkei de Rablazer, Medrash, in Perek Yud Beis. Writes a great many things, which we'll quote from during the course of the Shir. But amongst the things that he mentions, he writes, "V'chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu alav shelo la'achivai." Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu place a slumber, a sleep? He gave him an anesthetic in order that he shouldn't cause him pain. So man slept. He took a bone from his bones and flesh from his heart. And he made from this an ezer, a helpmate. And then he brought her to him. He keeps Mishnosai, but always say she are medicine negdai. Then he woke up, man, from his sleep. And he looked up, and there he saw Chava. This must have been quite an experience, because man had never seen a woman before. And all of a sudden he woke up, and there he saw Chava. And the Gemara tells us that Chava was quite good looking. Not only was she quite good looking, but she was the most perfect and beautiful woman ever created, the Gemara says. Miyad chipko v'nishko. He hugged her and he kissed her. V'omar brucha at l'Hashem. And he says, blessed are you to Hashem. Atzmeich ma'atzomai. You are for my own bone and flesh. V'loch roi likreis isho. And someone like you should be called isho. Shneman, that's what it says. Me'atzomai uvosim ipsori. And there he had a new name now. Atshohoye levadoi. Until now, man was always called Odom. Until now. This is the first place in the Torah that we see the word Ish or Isho. See, Atshohoye levadoi, nikreshmai Odom. He was always called Odom. Odom means Min Adoma. He was created from the earth. Now, he said, that you are fit to be called Isho, because you were taken from Ish. So we see now, both he and her were given new names. And then, we brought this once in a shir before, the Medrash Pirkei Reblezer goes through to explain the chasana. It was Baruch who made a whole chasana. He called all the malochim, and he told them, we have a chasana today. And they made a chuppah. And not only did they make a chuppah, they made 10 chuppahs. Eser chuppahs also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'odem HaRishon v'Gan Eden. This was in Gan Eden. And they all were made of beautiful and precious stones and of gold. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Shushvin. He was the best man. And the Malochim, they were the band. States Mesefavim, Besupim. They were playing the instruments. Umaraktim, Kinekevus. And they were dancing. Since they were dancing so much, they were dancing like females. The Gemara always says that females dance more than males. And also it states that the angels were the pole holders. They were guarding, standing guard around the chuppahs. And from here the Gemara, the Medrash explains the whole chasana. The Gemara in Kiddushin, the Beis, Seif Omer Beis, in this vein tells us, Reb Shimon Omer, Bibnema Omro Torah Ki Ikach Ish Isho. Why does it say in the Torah, Barshas Ki Tzeitse, Ki Ikach Ish Isho, when a man takes a wife, Bleksiv Ki Silokach Isho Le Ish, does not say when a wife takes herself to a man, or there's another Girsa, Ki Sikach Isho Isho, does not say when a wife takes a husband, but rather it says when a husband takes a wife. She tells us because we see that the Isha, the woman, was taken from the man and she was like lost from him. So she's like an Aveda, a lost article. When someone loses something, so mi darkai laksor al mi. Who looks for it? The Aveda, the lost article, doesn't look for the owner, but the owner looks for the lost article. So therefore, darkai shel ish laksor achi isho, v'lei darkai shel isho laksor achi ish. It is the way, the nature of the man to pursue a woman, and not the nature of a woman to pursue a man. Now, from all of this, we see that it was necessary for a man to have a wife. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one for him. And first, he created man alone, and then he created woman. Okay. Whether we learn man was created totally alone and women later on, or even if they were created together, they were divided into two beings. And on this we can question why. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it necessary for a man to have a wife. So why did he not create them to begin with, a man and a wife? We find all other creations were created that way. Shnayim, shnayim. Everything was created zocher and nekevah, male and female. And even according to the Yirmiyah, that they were created together. But they were created together as one creation. If that's the way they should have been, because we see they were created that way, then why didn't they remain that way? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that they were supposed to be two separate units, two separate creations, so then he should have created them that way to begin with. In other words, we see that the Yetzer min HaKlal, the blatant exception to the entire creation, in Zocher v'Nekevah, male and female is something which goes through the entire creation. The blatant exception is the human species. While everything to begin with was created male and female, and the way they were supposed to remain male and female, man was created alone, and later on female was created, or he was divided into two. Why? Actually, the Vilna Gaon says, we brought this before, he says, l'fi pshuto, in the simple sense, he says this in his Pirush HaDeres Eliyahu, that man and woman had to be separate because the woman was supposed to be an ezer kenegdei, a helpmate to the man. And a person can't be a helpmate to himself. A body cannot help itself. He needs something outside of it, externally. Ein chovus matias atzmai. Not always says a prisoner cannot free himself. So therefore they had to be two. So why? That's why they were divided. But why weren't they created like that to begin with then? Because in the relation of man and woman we see an exceptional dimension. The Mara always says there's chaverim and reus, there's good friends. The Gemara says, there's craving. There are relations, blood relatives. The Gemara says, there's shluchei shalodim kemeisei. Sometimes you can empower someone to act as if you are acting. But on a man and wife, it says, ishtei kegufei. Like the states, v'hoyei lebosher echad, they shall be one flesh. The dimension of man and wife is like one. Ishtei kegufei, like one body. One body and one soul. Now, how can two units become one body and one soul? Therefore, they had to be created together to begin with, where they were one body and one soul. And then, woman was taken from man, so she could be a helpmate to him, but at the same time, reunite into one body and one soul, the dimension of ishtei kegufei. This is what the Vilna Gaon says, in accordance to the simple sense of the psukim. However, there's a greater depth to this. If we look in Rashi, Rashi says, "Ezer kenegdei leitev hayosa adam levadei." It is not good for a man to be alone. Right? That has a simple sense. It's not good for someone to be alone. Tova shnayim mina echad. Two are better than one. He needs someone to help him. He'll get lonely alone. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Leiteva yes odem levadei. He brings from Bereshis Rabo, Shelayemru shtei reshuyesein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'elyonim yochid ve'ein leizug, v'ze betachtonim ve'ein leizug. He says, why isn't it good for a man to be alone? Because then the people will say, there are two creators of the universe, and there are two kings of the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king, and man is a king, and Bishutfis, with partnerships, they rule, they created and they rule. Because Hashem is alone, he doesn't have a zug, he doesn't have a helpmate. And man is alone. Therefore, in order that we shouldn't come to think this, I'll make a helpmate for him. Rashi brings this from Bereishis Rabo. I haven't found it in Bereishis Rabo, but it is in Pirkei de Rablezer, which we quoted. Medrash Pirkei de Rablezer says that after man was created, Hoyamatayel began Eden ki echod mimalach yashoris. When man was created, he walked in Gan Eden, and he looked like one of the Malachim. Because there wasn't another creation in the whole world that resembled him. All creation would go on all four. Man stood upright, like a king. He walked in Gan Eden, and he looked like the Malachim. And he was even better than the Malachim, for many reasons. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Yochid Be'Olamai, V'zeh Yochid Be'Olamai. I am alone in the world, and he is alone in the world. Ani ein piri v'rivyo lefonai v'ze ein piri v'rivyo lefonai. I do not multiply, and he does not multiply. La'ach ha'kein yemer abrius, ho'yil ve'en lefonai piri v'rivyo hu sheborono. So the people, as time goes on, as civilization goes on, and we see that civilization can make great, great errors, they'll come to worship him. And they'll say, he created the world like I did. He's alone, I'm alone. I do not multiply, he does not multiply. Therefore, they tell Peyesodim Levade, it's not good for a man to be alone, because can come a churban from this, great destruction. Therefore, as Elias is a connector, I will make a helpmate for him. Now, this is something difficult to understand. Well, what is it, just because he was alone and he doesn't multiply, so people will come to worship him? And if he's got a wife, they won't come to worship him. What does all of this mean? The Maral in the Goraya explains. He says, "But see, we could ask a question. Every king that we know of has a queen. Never have a king without a queen. This is the derech of Malchusa de Aro. This is the royalty, the sovereignty of the world." The Gemara in Masechta Brochas tells us that Malchusa de Ara came Malchusa de Rakia, that earthly kingship styles itself and strongly patterns itself after heavenly kingship. What we see in kings and queens is something. Not what's going on in England, that's not much of a kingship there. But what we see in kings and queens is something that we have to take very seriously. The modern brachas brings that the Tanoim used to go, take every opportunity to see a king and a queen, because of Malchus and the Arke, Malchus and Nishmaya, because through this we can have an idea of what the kingship of the Almighty is, because he gave them this royalty. But we can ask a question, if that's the case, why do we find every king has his queen? Kaviyochel, if we could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have a queen. There's a great difference here, a great distinction between the two kingships. Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu then have a queen? If it's not necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a queen, which we can readily accept and understand, so then why do all earthly kings have their king, their queen? The answer to this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as Echod. He's known as Yochid. Hu Echod. Hashem Echod. Echod means he is one and there is nothing besides him. He's a Yochid because he encompasses everything in the world. there he is total and lacks nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot have a queen, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a queen, firstly, if he needed a queen, this means that he's lacking something. You don't need something unless you lack it in yourself. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a queen if he is total and encompasses everything in the world and everything beyond all worlds? And he is Shalem, he is perfect. If he did have a queen, it would destroy the perfection. Because if you have something that you don't need, then that's an unnecessary addition to a person. And that itself destroys perfection. So the Gemara always says, Kol ha'yesek inotel domi. It says, for example, if a person needs two arms, that's perfection. You give him three arms, he's a balmum. That's a great imperfection. Not like some people think that if two is good, three is better. Understand? So to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a queen, and then we're saying he's lacking something. He's echot. He's kollel everything. He encompasses everything. He's totality. Lacks nothing. Can't lack anything. To give him a queen anyhow, that will destroy the perfection. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no concept of a queen by him. Now, man was also created does not have this totality, does not have this perfection. And therefore, he can have a queen. In other words, he was lacking something. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a queen for him, that through this he will gain his perfection. So therefore, to answer the question we ask, why do we find that kings of this world have queens? Well, the kingship, the heavenly kingship, we do not find queens. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. Echad means encompasses everything that's possible to encompass. And he's totality and perfect. So there cannot be any further addition to him. But man in this world, the king which is not totally perfect, he lacks. If he lacks, then there's the concept of having a queen which will fulfill, which will bring perfection to him. That's the answer to that question. But now, there's another aspect. And that is man is the Bechir Anivroim. He's the ultimate of creation. Not only is he the ultimate of creation and the most perfect of the Almighty's creations, but Hakol Nivro Bishviloi, the whole world was created for him, the Torah tells us. This is how great man was, or is. And not only that, but further. Chiba Yisera nitna lo'odam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with even a greater dimension. Ki betzelem elokim bara. He created him in his own image. Again, man is the ultimate of creation and the most perfect of Hashem's creations. And the whole creation was for him. And even more so, Chiba Yisera Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him an extra gift, a dimension of Tzelem Elokim b'Gufeinu, that he was created in the Almighty's image himself. Therefore, man was created as a king. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a king, and man was created in his image, then man is also a king. That's why man was called Melech HaTachtonim, made him king of this world. You will rule in this world. We see by Yaakov Avinu, who was the perfection of all men, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korel Kael. Hashem called him with the word Kael, El. We find later on in the Parshas. This was the strength and the perfection that Hashem gave to man. Now therefore, if this is the case, then man also was created with this degree of totality and perfection. If he is the handiwork of the Almighty, and he is supposed to be the best achievement of the Almighty, and he was given the image of the Almighty, so just like the Almighty is a king, he was also given kingship. Just like the Almighty is one, he also was given a degree of oneness and totality. Now we can understand a very great question. Had the Almighty created man alone and later on create woman, if he first would have created male and then he would have created female, he would have created an enormous Balmum. He would have created an enormous imperfect creation. Because if the female is necessary for the perfection of man, then he created a half a man by creating man alone. And to create a half a man, how can that be the Bechira Nivroi, the greatest of all of the creations? How can that be the Tzelem Elokim, in the image of the Almighty? He's a king, you're a king. That would be like creating a cripple. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create man Yochid B'Eilomai, alone. Because he wanted man to have a similar degree as the Almighty. Naturally, not the same as the Almighty, but to be a dugma, to resemble the Almighty. So he had to create him alone. And alone, we mean all-encompassing, where he would encompass a total perfection. According to one opinion in the Gemara, this man that was created alone was both Zoch and Nekeva. He was male and female. Encompassed is both. According to the other opinion in the Gemara, he was created as a male, but it had all of the powers and the potential of female in him also. Like we see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from his flesh and took from his bone and made a female. So he had to create him like this if he was going to create a perfect man. Because had he created man only with the aspects of Zohar, a male, he's creating a half a person. He's creating a Balboom, a cripple. This is the Bechira Nivroi, This is the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this itself, though, this itself, this great Milo, this great height that was given to man, became a chisorin, became a shortfall in him. Because now he resembled the Almighty too much. And that's what Rashi brings from the Medrash. People will come to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, and he lives forever. And man is one, and lives forever. At that time, they would live forever. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs no helpmate. And this man needs no helpmate. He is totally self-reliant. Everything that he needs is within him. So people will say later on, there are two creators, there are two kings, and they created the world in partnership. And they will come to worship him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they will say, he's a king and I'm a king. In other words, the shleimus, that perfection, was so great where it resembled already the Almighty himself. And this is low tov. This is not good for man. Why? Because what is man's purpose in this world? To bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Like Avraham says in this week's parsha, Avraham called Hashem Elokei Ha'oretz. In another place he called him Elokei HaShomayim. He said, before I came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was God in the heavens. Now after me, he's God in the heavens and God in the earth. I brought him into the world. The people didn't know of him. Or like it states, that the Oves were known as the Markova Leshchino, Rashi brings. They were the chariot in which the Shekhinah rode on, because it was through them that the Shekhinah Hashem came into the world. This is their task, their mission in this world of man. And this is defeating their task and mission in this world. Because I gave him so much greatness and so much perfection and totality, instead of bringing me into the world, they will drive me out of the world, because people will say, look, there's a God there and there's a God here. There are two gods, and they both created the world. Mahu Echot, he's one and he's one. He's a Yochid, he's alone and he's alone. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Tov Heyos Odom Levadei, Aselei Ezer Kenegdoi, I will make a helpmate for him. Once there's a helpmate for him, now people will see he's not a god. A king is the Almighty King, the Almighty Ruler. But if he needs a queen, then evidently he's not the Almighty Ruler. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs no one. So therefore, Asela Eze Kenegdei, I will divide him and make him into two. So therefore, from here we see two great yesodis, two great principles. Man had to be created Zohar Unnekeva, male and female. Either, like one opinion, it was actual male and female, it was the two species in one body, or it had the potential of male and female. Man had to be created like that. Because if not, a half a man would have been created. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to create a half a man, he wanted to create a perfect man. All encompassing. Behemoth, Chayos, other species, It's no kasher why he created them shnayim shnayim. What did he have to create them all encompassing for? He wasn't giving them the tselem elokim, he wasn't giving them the malchus. It comes to an animal, he was created an animal. So you'll say it's not a perfect animal, it's only a half of animal, because one is ocher and the other is nekeva, so it's a half of animal. But by man, who he was giving the malchus diara, he was giving the unchallenged kingship of the world, b'tselem u'dmenus elokim, where he should resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had to be all-encompassing. Therefore, zocher nekeva borim. But to leave him like that, he also couldn't, because his perfection was too much. Because what will people say? Stay the Shuishpah. There are two kings, two all-powerful kings, two creators, two gods. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Yochid, and these are Yochid. Therefore, I have to divide him into two. And people will see that he doesn't encompass everything. He needs someone else also. These are two very great principles in understanding the creation and the living of man and woman. Now from here we learn two very important points. Firstly, we see the greatness of man. People always talk about self-esteem. Person has to realize who he is. See the greatness of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create him like he himself. Well, he encompassed the whole world. Everything. And everything was, he was to be the sovereign of the world and Tzelem Elokim in his own image. That's the first thing. And that he should lack nothing. Secondly, we see that zocher and nekeva, male and female, the male and female species, are from one body, one soul, one creation. This is how they were created. And this is what the Gemara means with the dimension of ishta kigufa, that a person's wife is like he himself. Not their good friends, not their related, not even their blood relations, they're not blood relatives. They weren't born from the same parents. But ishta kigufa, they are one being, because they come from one body and soul. And not that he has something that she doesn't and she has something that he doesn't. No. That everything that's in her is from him. And everything that's in him was in her. Because they were one creation and they were divided. Now from here we understand something further. Also very important. The Maral always emphasizes that zocher v'nekeva, male and female, are hafechim. They are totally different from each other. And we see the male qualities are not the female qualities, and vice versa, the female qualities are not the male qualities. Generally, we accept this to mean that there are differences in male species and there are differences in the female species, one from the other. No, that's not what it meant. It doesn't mean that they're different in many things, and it doesn't mean that they're different in the majority of things. It means they are afechim mamish. They are totally different in everything, and there's nothing the same in the two of them. Why is that? When they were created together, and like we quoted from the pasuk, they were called Adam. Then they were perfect and they had a totality. When they became divided, if you take something which is perfect, if you take a perfect painting, or if you take a perfect perfect glass utensil, and if you divide it into two, there can be nothing in one half of the painting that's similar to the second half of the painting. Because if there is, or let's not say similar, there can be nothing in one half of the painting that's a duplication of the first half of the painting. Because if there is, then that painting, when it was one, would not be perfect. Take a painting, take a Rembrandt, that's perfect. You divide it into two. Then when that painting was one, it wouldn't be perfect. There'd be something wrong with it. And since Zohar v'Nekeva Borom, he created man as Zohar v'Nekeva, and they were perfect in the ultimate of perfection, and now he divided them, there cannot be any duplication in the second half that's in the first half, or vice versa. But each one, in every facet, is totally different. Together, they make a whole. Together, they make a total perfection. But that's only because alone each one is totally different in every facet. An example would be if you take a picture and you make a puzzle from it. Each piece is different than the other. You put it together. If it's put together right, it becomes perfect. Now, with this, the Maral explains another difficulty in this parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Eser lei eizer kenegdei." I will make for him an Ezer Kenegde. It should have just said Ezer, a helpmate. What does it mean, Ezer Kenegde? Kenegde means opposite, contrary to him, contrary. So Rashi says, Zohar, if he's Zecher, if he has a schus, a merit, she will be a helpmate for him. Le Zohar, if he does not have the merit, Kenegde, she will be against him. Kenegde means against him. The Pirkei Der Blezer has a little different gist, a little different text. But he says, Al tikre kenegdei ele lenagdoi. Kenegdei is from the word nagdoi, mangid. Mangid in the Gemara means lashes, means war. Im zocha ti ele ezer. If he has a merit, she will be an ezer, a helpmate to him. Im lav lenagde lilochem. If not, she will be prepared to become a warrior against him. Actually, the Haggah, the notes in the in the Pirkei Der Blezer, wants to say that that's the correct girsa, and that's how it should be in Rashi. And with this, he answers a kasha. Now, and this is something difficult to understand. Firstly, we see this is true. We see it all of the time. We see when it comes to a man and a wife, if their marriage is successful, then it's successful. If their marriage is failure, then they do not part as friends. You never find married people that if a marriage breaks up, they part as good friends. They become enemies of each other. They go to war against each other. Now this is a kasha, this is a question that we have to understand, because by Beis Chaverim, Beis Re'im, two friends. We don't say that. We say Zohar, Ezel, Zohar, Kinegde. We don't say that if you have a merit, then you'll be good friends. If you don't have a merit, you'll be the greatest enemies. There's many people that become friends. The friendship cools off. So no longer are they the best friends. They're still good acquaintances and so forth, but no longer are they the best friends. It cools off. They don't become enemies of each other. Not at each other's throats. You take the same thing by partners. Sometimes you find two people go into partnership and they end up fighting with each other. But it's not a clow. It doesn't have to be that way. There's many people that go into partnerships and then one day, very amicably, they decide that they're going to sell out to each other and they part also as good friends. I don't say Zohar. Zohar Ezer, like Zohar Kenegde. The same thing by an Av Leben or Ben La'av, a father and a son and a father, or a mother and a son and a mother. We don't say if there's a schus, then they're the best in the world, and if there's not, they're the worst in the world. Smaral Estes, why here do we say, Zohar, you need a special schus, then they're good friends. If not, they're the worst enemies. Another question also we can ask. If there's the potential to become kenegdoi, the worst enemies, so how did they come together to begin with? We see man and wife, male and female, are drawn together through enormous emotions, through enormous magnetic emotions of love. But yet you say they have the potential to become the two greatest enemies. If you find in two friends that have, two people that have the potential to become the greatest enemies of each other, are not usually drawn together to become friends in the first place. In other words, it's an enigma. What is the explanation in this? So Maral explains. He says, when it comes to all other types of relations and all other types of friendships, be it family relations, father and son, mother and son, two friends, business relationships, whatever it might be, they are not totally opposite to each other, the people involved. And they are not both coming from one creation. Therefore, since they're not both coming from one creation, they don't try to make one creation of themselves. They don't try to be misachid legamre. They don't try to unify themselves in one unity. Two friends. Friendship goes to a certain point and not further. Even family friendships, family relations, go to a certain point and not further. Business relations go to a certain point and not further. But we do not say ishtei ki gufei. We do not say they become guf echod. So they do not try to be misached legamri. Not only they don't try, there is not that enormous power that's coming to misached legamri, that's coming to unify them. And at the same time, they are not totally contrary to each other. So therefore, it's possible to have a mediocre relation, a cool relationship. You're friends, but to a certain extent. When it comes to ish v'ishu, zohar v'nekeva, first of all, we said they're from the same guf and neshama, a man and a wife. Zohar v'nekeva borom, they were created as one unit, as one individual. Because of that, there is an enormous power which is trying to unite them and trying to again to make one from them and to bring them together. At the same time, they are totally opposite from each other in every
perfection in every way. Like we said, if you have a painting and you divide it, so what one half has, the other half doesn't. What the other half has, the first half doesn't have. Pieces of the puzzle are exactly opposite of each other. They're not the same. So here you have this enigma. You have two people that have been drawn together because they both come from the exact same Bria, the exact same creation, the exact same source. And at the same time, they are totally opposite to each other. This, incidentally, is how the Maharal answers in another place, that there was a Shaila amongst the philosophers. What attracts? Do opposite attracts or similarities attract? And many of the philosophers wanted to say that opposites attract, because we see by Zohar and Nekeva, we see by the male and female, they're attracted to each other. And he says, no. He says it's similarities that attract. He says the proof of the pudding is, you see, every individual likes to live together with people who have similar ideas and similar backgrounds. He says every Ben Uma, a Chinaman, he's at home with the Chinese. And a Portuguese is at home with the Portuguese. A Jew likes Jews. Similarity attracts. Isaac Kasha, so then why by Zohar when they came? He says, there's different. They're totally opposite. But it's not the fact that they're opposite attracts. No, opposites fight against each other. The attraction there is they're totally opposites, but they're coming from the same creation. So you can't have someone more similar than that. That's what's attracting them. That's what's bringing them together. So you have this enigma. That from one aspect, coming from the same creation, they want to be one, total achdus, like one, kigufei mamish. They want to be one, and there's an enormous power, but at the same time, what he has, she doesn't have. What she has, he doesn't have. Because they were one to begin with, and they were divided. So they're opposites. So therefore, if they're Zohar, they will become one. If they're not Zohar, not that they won't become one, they will become warriors with each other, exactly opposite of each other. A derech moshel, to give you an example, and a puzzle. If you put the pieces together properly, the puzzle becomes one. If it's not put together properly, it'll never become one. Every piece doesn't fit. So this is the explanation. Im Zohar, Ezer, Im Le Zohar, then Kinegdoi, Nagidoi, Lihilochim. They are ready to go to war. Now, from what we've said, a person must understand, must learn from this. Firstly, there are certain natural tendencies in the Zohar, and certain natural, not certain, there are many, many natural tendencies in the Zohar, and many, many natural tendencies in the Nekeva, in a female. Many times, one partner in the marriage, one spouse, looks down at the natural tendencies of the others. For example, the most blatant distinction in natural tendencies is a man is tough. He's strong, he's tough. Physically, he's stronger. But also, his way is tough. He's hard. A woman, physically she's weaker, but not only physically, emotionally she's soft. This the Torah tells us. Where does the Torah tell us this?
Torah tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us this in Parshas Yisrael. He told Moshe, give Torah to Klal Yisrael. So he said, Kosel Ma'alevei Sha'akov V'sagei Levnei Yisrael. Tell the Torah and the mitzvahs to the women and tell it to the men. But he says, not the same way. When you speak to the women, Kosoma Loshen Racho, you speak softly to them. You speak softly. You speak nicely to them. Gentle. Incidentally, the Derech Eretz, we gave a shir on Shabbos in Derech Eretz. You must never, never downright a Derech Eretz. See, through history, it was the way of a gentleman. He was called a gentleman because he was genteel. When he spoke to a woman, you speak very gentle. You speak to a man, you can speak tough. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Tell the Torah and the mitzvahs to the women. Loshen Racho. You speak softly. You speak kindly. You explain to them. You tell them the reward of the mitzvahs. And so forth. Sageid livnei Yisrael. But when you speak to the men, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said, Sagei kosher kegidi. A gid is like a tendon. A tendon you can't break. He says, tell them the way it is. Kol dituke ve'einshin. You tell them this is what you have to do, and if you don't do it, you lose your head. See? This is how you speak to men. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. So we see that this is a basic difference in the nature of the Zohar and the nature of the Nekevah. Now, the point that we can learn from this, though, that what we're saying is generally, many times, one looks at the other down at this nature. See, man many times thinks that a woman, she's irrational. She's not going after logic. She's too soft. She's listening to her emotions and so forth and so on. The woman many times thinks of a man, I mean, he's too hard. He has no compassion. He only does what logic tells him. Many times they look at it as chisreinus, as shortcomings in the other. Man has to know that not only this is not shortcomings, but this is his nature also. That this softness was part of his nature. And this hardness was part of her nature. And this is what made up man total. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, Zohar and Keva Borom, he created them together with all the qualities of Zohar and Keva. So man had the kosher kigidni, he had the hardness of the rationale, and he had the softness of the compassion. That was man in his totality. But his totality, his perfection was too much. He looked like a Kodesh Baruch Hu already. So he had to divide him. Okay. So man was left with the hardness, which has enormous advantages, because he goes with the Seichel. But disadvantages also, because many times he's thinking too much with his mind and not his heart. And woman was left with the softness, which has enormous advantages. Okay. She has the wonderful heart and a compassion, but disadvantages also. She can be misled. So a person, if he looks down, either one looks down at this, is a shaita. He's a fool. Because these were his qualities. And these qualities were necessary for totality. Except it gave him too much totality. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to divide him in two. But each one needs the other qualities. Now I mention one natural tendency. There are not 10 or a dozen, there are millions. See? And this is one important principle from here. This now is what the Gemara tells us in Yevamos. It's a Medrash Rabba here in Bereishis in Yerushalayim Beis, and also Yevamos, the Gemara in Yevamos, Samach Aleph, and Samach Beis. Rav Chiya bar Gamdo Omar Af Eino Odom Sholem Shenema Vayvorech Eisom Vayikre Shmom Odom. He says a person who's alone is an Odom, but not an Odom Sholem. See? He's a man, but you cannot say it's total. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he quotes our pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only called them man after both were created, but with both, when he had both creations. This is what we are referring to. Now, another point. It states, Lezocho kinegdei. If they do not have a shchus, then they are contrary to each other. Zocho, then Ezer. What does it mean, Zocho? What does it mean if they have a shchus? What it means that they have a shchus is, the Chazal tell us, they need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. That's what it means if they have the shchus. Because, first of all, to find a person, for the person to find his right mate, his other half, that is one of the great miracles of the world. And like it says in our Pasha, that when Eliezer made all of his tests, the one that will come out, and so forth and so on, and she will offer me, I'll ask her to give me to drink, and she said, I'll give you to drink, and also the gemalim, the camels, and so forth and so on, and she'll be from Abram's family. So when she told this over to the family, Bisuel and Lovan, they said, Me'ashem yotza dover. Me'ashem yotza dover. We see that this is from Hashem. The Gemara says, Mikan shezivugi shalodom me'ashem. From here we see that zivugi shalodom, marriages, like the world says, marriages are made in heaven. So firstly, you need enormous siyata d'shmaya, that a person should find the right one. That's what it means in Zohar. But secondly, a person needs enormous siyata d'shmaya, help of God, that it should be a zivug eliyofer, that the zivug should take, that the marriage should take well. Because even after they find each other, what would happen if you would take a puzzle, a picture, you take a let's say a beautiful glass, take a beautiful crystal, piece of crystal, and you smash it. Even if you find all the pieces, not so easy to put it back together. Now this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. When he divided Adam into two, it wasn't two. This means that Guf and Neshama, his body and his soul, was divided. We're talking here of millions and billions. In the physical man himself, there are billions of cells which became divided. And that's physical man. That's besides the emotional man and the intellectual man and the spiritual man. The division was in billions and billions of particles. So even if you find all the pieces, find the right one, to put it back together again is something which is humanly impossible. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it. That's what the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechta Seita. Kosher zivugin shel odom ki kriyas yamsuf. That to bring two people together and make them one, that's as difficult as the splitting of the sea. So the Maral in the Agodas there asks, what does it mean as difficult as splitting? Why is it compared to the splitting of the sea? She says as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, no man can do that. Why? Because the yam is kiguf echod. The sea is like one creation. And try to divide it. You know, who can count the billions of tons of water that's in the sea? And it holds together. Try to divide it. No man can do that. The miracle of Zivugin is a similar vein. Not to take one thing that is one and divide it into two, but to take something that already was divided and to put it back together again. That's what it means, Koshe Zivugin Shalodim Kikriyas Yamsuf.
And the Medrash says, we brought many times, that when a Matronusa, there was an aristocratic woman of the Romans, asked one of the sages of the Mishnah, after creating the world, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do all day? He said, he's Yeshef u'mezavik zivugim. He's busy making shiduchim and making marriages. What's so great about that? That's what's so great about it. To put something back together that was divided. And when it was divided, not divided. Man was divided. And man represents billions and billions of different parts at all different dimensions. To put that together is not so easy. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu occupies himself with. With this he explains a Gemara in Masechta Brachos and the Avodah Zarah, the Maral. The Gemara says, Kol HaMasameach Chosen V'Kalo, whoever helps to bring Simcha to a Chosen and Kalo, Kila Hikriv Toda. It's as if he's bringing a Korban Toda. Now, what does a Korban Toda have to do with the Simchas Chosen V'Kalo? Korban Toda was brought when a miracle took place to a person, but a particular type of miracle. When a disaster was averted, Moses says, who brings a Korban Toda? Someone who crossed the sea. He was in imminent danger, and it was averted. Someone who crossed the desert. Someone who was thrown into the dungeon to die, and he was saved. Someone who was sick, the Nata Lomos, he was very, very seriously sick, and the doctors didn't know if he would survive. So who brings a Korban Toda when there was an imminent, natural tragedy or disaster staring him in the face? And he was nitzel, he brings a Korban Toda. When something was against him, the nature was against him. Now, what does the Korban Toda do? The Korban Toda is a thanksgiving to Hashem to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses everything. See, usually when we fall to the elements of the nature, we say, all is lost. Person gets caught, heaven forbid, in a cyclone or a hurricane, or he gets caught in a flood. The rivers overflow and he's carried down with the raging waters. He's left to the mercy of the elements of the nature, or if he's thrown into the dungeons by murderers, by terrorists, he's left at the mercy of other elements. And these are elements which are beyond our control. So how can we be saved? If it's something which is within our control, we're driving a car, and we can control the car, good. But if it's already elements which are beyond our control, so what can we do about that? And still we're saved. So then we make a haidah, we make a declaration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he rules all of the elements. Nothing is beyond him. Everything that might be out of our control, out of man's control, are not out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control. Everything is ruled by him, and he makes peace between everything. He can bring peace between all of the elements. Therefore, if a person was in the sea and he came out alive, he has to bring a Korban Toda. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses everything, like we said. He says it's for that reason that the Korban Toda was an exception to all the other sacrifices, that you brought with it both chometz and matzah. You brought with it loaves, but they were both chometz and matzah. Because chometz and matzah are totally contrary to each other. By nature, they're contrary. One is where time imbued itself into the grain, into the dough, to affect
rising, leavening, and the other is where it was not allowed to do that. So they're opposite to each other. To show that everything in the world, even though they might be totally opposite to each other in accordance to nature, fire and water, that's all right. Kodesh Baruch Hu controls everything and he makes peace and harmony between everything. That's the Korban Todah. He says that's why we bring a call, that someone who helps to bring a simcha between Chosin and Kalor, the Zivu Gezele Yofer, he brings them together to the point where they are happy with each other and they enjoy each other and they are in love with each other. Ki Ilohi Krif Todah. So this is bringing a Todah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do this. No one else can do this. Like it says, Me Hashem Yotzer Dover. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mezavik Zibu Bi. No one else can do this. So therefore, it's like bringing a Korban Todah. Now, the Pirkei de Reblezer that we quoted asked the question. He says that in no other place till now in the Torah do you find the name Ish the Isha. Only now. Till then it was Odom. Now he said, Lezeishi Kore Isha. This creation I'm going to call Isha, Kimi Ish Lukocha, because she was taken from Ish. Why all of a sudden Ish the Isha? Why here? Says a wonderful thing. He says, what is the difference between the name of Ish and between the name Isha and between the name Odom? He says, because Odom does not have the name of Hashem in it. Ish for Isha has Hashem's name. The Ish has a Yud and the Isha has a Hey. That spells Hashem's name. While Odom does not have. Till now, when he was created as one entity, Zohar v'Nekeva, he didn't need Hashem's name to be one. But now that he was divided and brought back together again, that's done only with Hashem's name. And therefore, the Pirkei de Reblezer says, therefore he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided them, he saw they could never come back together again. Impossible. So what did he do? Nosan Shmei Beneihem. He put his name between them. Yud Hei Im Holchim Bedrochai V'Shemrim Mitzvosai. And if they will walk in my ways and they will guard my mitzvahs, Harei Shmi Nosum Beneihem U'matzeh Leishon Mikol Tzora, then my name will be amongst them and they will be perfect. Iblav. But if not, Harei Ninaiteh Leishmi Beneihem, I will take my name from them. Ve'nasim. What happens if you take the Yud from the Ish? It spells Eish, fire. If you take the Hay from the Ishor, it spells Eish, fire. They become two fires, va'esh heles esh, and one fire will consume the other. Has for shalom. So that's what it means. Im zocho ezer leizocho kenegdoi. See, melchoma. Now this that we say, he said that they will, if they guard my mitzvahs. The first mitzvah that was given to man and to man after he was reunited with women, the Torah tells us, Al kein yaziv ishes ovi vi imoi, ves imoi vedovak ishtai. Was that the first mitzvahs that were given to them? Those were the mitzvahs of faithfulness, of fidelity. Therefore, man should leave all other relations and cleave to his wife, and vice versa. The Hagor, the Magia, brings in the Pirkei de Reblezer from Ovesr Nosen Perek Lamed Ches. He brings Shelo Yehi Hu Na'ef Vihina Efes, that he should not be
an adulterer, and she should not be an adulteress. She calls man, she Yisrael asukim ba'arayish, chinam istalekes b'neihem. Because when there is lack of faithfulness in Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his names away. The oz nasu, nasa zivugim shel Yisrael chas v'sholem esh v'esh. And then the marriages of Yisrael become fires. So we have a lot to learn from all of this. What we're learning today. And I want to conclude, the hour is late, going over time. I want to conclude with a medrash in Parshas Yisro. Today we live in a generation, we live in a world that the world is built on adultery. It's built on unfaithfulness. If we more or less believe what we see around us, and it's also built on broken homes. And this, a person, we have to know this. Everyone has to know this. That man and woman were created as one to be in the ultimate of perfection. They were divided because their perfection was so great they resembled HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But they were divided to be reunited again and to attain that perfection. But that can be only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore he gave them new names, Ish v'Isho. I put my name between them and bring them together, otherwise no one can reunite them for the reasons that we gave. And I'll keep my names between them if they keep my mitzvahs. Otherwise they become two fires. Churban, they consume each other. Now the Medrash is in last week's parsha. When the Malachim came to Sora, they said, Aye Sora Ishtecho, where is Sora your wife? Avram said, Be'ehel, she's in the tent. Rashi in Bamasiyah brings that she wasn't, she was different than other women. She wasn't to be seen. She kept herself very, very private. And the Malachim, the angels, wanted to show Avraham what a wonderful wife he has, Derech Hatznius, that she's so private and she is so modest. In Parshas Yisro, when Moshe went to the well, when Moshe went to the well, he ran away from Egypt, and there were the seven daughters of Yisro. And the shepherds were terrorizing them. So Moshe went and 1, 2, 3, he took care of all the shepherds. And he went and he drew water for the daughters. And they came home. And Yisro asked his daughters, why are you home so soon? And they told him the story. Ish Mitzri Hitziluno, an Egyptian saved us. And he said, Ayo! Where is he? Kirenlai, Vayechalochem. Call him here. And we will eat bread. Give him some bread. Now, what was behind this, the Medrash says, is they came so quickly home because when Moshe gave water to the camels, to the sheep, the water came up by itself. So he didn't have to draw the water. That's the same thing in our pasture. When Rivka came to the well, he saw the water go up to meter, and that was one of the things that really attracted Eliezer to them, because that was a brocha that was by Abraham in Yitzchok. And therefore he said, and Yisro was a very wise man, and when they told him this, he said, Ayo. He says, where is he? Is it perhaps that he is Mizera Sora, perhaps he's from the seed of Sarah, because by Sarah also the Malachim asked, Aye Sora Ishtecho, where is Sora your wife? That was what he meant with Ayo, the same word, where? Kirenlai, call them here. V'yecha lochem, we'll give him what to eat, we'll become friends with him, and maybe he will marry one of the daughters. So the Maral explains further, why all of a sudden did he think more than that? He said, something's wrong with this man. Someone who saves seven daughters immediately goes to the father to demand his reward for it. He comes and says, look what I did. I saved you. Now times, he'd go on television. Be in the papers, in the magazines, television, all over. They would make special conferences for him with proper promotion. And here, he didn't even come and tell us. You came home and he went on his way. He says, this person is a very, very great snua. This person is a very, very private, modest individual. And a person like this, he said, could only come from the seed of another very, very private, modest individual. Another ayo, aye, sori imenu. And he said, shema me eisei zera, sori ishtecha shekola eila misborach bishvil eisei zera. Could he be the seed of Sarah that the whole world was blessed because of that seed? Because someone who is so private, that's Kedusha, that brings sanctity. And someone who is sanctity, has sanctity, that brings Brocha. And that's why the waters came up to meet him. And that's the seed I want. Kirenlai, call him the Yechalochem, and we will eat bread. Maybe he will marry one of you. This is the seed I want. Yisrael was a very wise man. He says, I want to become part of that seed that the whole world, that seed that the whole world was blessed from. Now, this is what we have to always bear in mind. Firstly, a person has to know how he was created. He was created with such perfection that he couldn't remain that way because people would mistake him with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, even when he was divided into two, though, he can still reunite himself and attain that perfection. But that's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. But Israel, specifically, they were the zera, they're the seed that the whole world was blessed from. You look at the world today, it's a world of cheshech, darkness, churban, murder, everything. The seed that brought light to the world is the seed of Sora. Sora, Avraham. And that's the great obligation that's on Klal Yisrael. When it comes to the perfection of man and when it comes to the perfection of the home in the way a person should walk. These are some of the very important points that we learn from the Parsha of Zivugin Shalodom, man and his marriage.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg South Africa.